Wonderful. It's lovely to be with you on a lovely sunny Sunday morning. Kind of all that rain seems to have been kind of its way in the past now, isn't it? Greetings from Woodlands Church. Again, it's lovely to be in partnership with New Life Church and Richard's kind of great friend with the associate church leaders there. We meet up from time to time. So it's fantastic to be here on a Sunday with you. Richard said I could talk on whatever I like. Very risky thing to do. Within our church, I'm probably known as a bit of an activist. I love to kind of to challenge and provoke and say, come on, guys, we ought to be out there. There's only one kingdom. It's the kingdom of Jesus. And this dark world needs to know what it is. So frequently, if I get the chance to talk, I want to kind of rally the troops, say, come on, guys, get out there. But I did feel this morning kind of not to do that and to do something else. So I'm going to talk a bit about, have we got a little clicky thing, about spiritual disciplines. Now you might think, I don't know what you think of when you think of spiritual disciplines. What do you think of? You can talk to me.
Prayer.
Prayer? Sorry?
Fasting.
Sabbath.
Worship.
Worship.
Reading the Bible.
Outreach.
Obedience.
Generosity. Okay. Well, what I want to think about is how do we become the person we want to be? There's something about in life, we kind of always imagine the fully God-inspired person that we could be. We always imagine the kind of impact for Jesus that we can make. Whether it's on the till of a shop praying with somebody, or whether it's a work colleague, or whether it's a family member. Actually, we kind of imagine, I could be like this for Jesus. I could be this kind of person. I could, in my actions, in my character, I could be more. And the challenge is sometimes, if you have a preacher come and tell you you ought to be more, you can slightly feel slightly guilty, and you can wander off on to have your Sunday lunch and think, I'm never going to be as good as I could be. Because if we just go away and try in our own effort, in our own ways, to be the kind of person we always imagined we could be, actually we get into trouble. Which is why God's given these things called spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are there not for the kind of the super hardcore Christians, yeehaw kind of spiritual. It's the kind of SAS of the Christian kind of discipleship league, kind of where spiritual disciplines for the tough, hard, gnarly Christians. Actually, no. Spiritual disciplines are here for all of us to help us engage with God to become the person God always imagined you could be. So there's three little kind of things, comments before I talk a bit more. Because I think we need to understand the difference between effort and earning. So when we think, sometimes when we think about spiritual disciplines and becoming the kind of person that we feel God wants us to be, actually sometimes we think, do you know what? I wonder whether if I do this, this and this, I can earn God's favour. If I do this and this and this, maybe God will love me more. If I do this, this, and this, maybe kind of I'll somehow head up the pecking order in kind of maybe God might answer my prayers. Kind of, and sometimes we can get into the thought that actually when we have to do something, when the Bible encourages us to do something, is it earning something? And obviously we know things like Ephesians 2 says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It's a gift from God, not by works, that no one can boast. Actually, there's some things we need to realise that you can never earn. However much you reorientate your life, however much you try and do things in your life, actually, there's some things you can never earn. You can never earn God's forgiveness. It's a gift from God. Actually, you can never earn your way to become a daughter or a son of God. Actually, you can never earn your way to find a peace of heart that passes understanding. You can never earn your way to salvation. Actually, all those things are a gift from God. And so as I talk about some things that maybe we can do, I first want to say, actually, make sure you're sure of the things that you can't earn. Make sure that there's some things that are just kind of, when you've trusted Jesus, when you've found him, actually, these things are just true about you. Your destiny, the reality of what Jesus has bought for you, actually, you can't do anything to earn that. You can't do anything to make God love you anymore. He just loves you 100%. So the first thing as we talk about, I want you to get away from the sense of earning. But I think sometimes we can just kind of rest back into grace. And there's other bits where actually there seems to be effort. Effort's required. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, that shalom peace of God, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. What a strength. Make every effort to enter the rest. You don't need any effort to rest. You just get home, you kick your shoes off, put your slippers on, Netflix on the TV. It takes no effort to rest. But if there's a kind of rest, a godly shalom well-being, the writer of the Hebrews says, actually, this takes a bit of effort. It's a free gift of God for God to give you that rest. But somehow you need to make an effort to enter that rest, to own it, to make it your own. Where it says here in Hebrews 12:14, let's make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy. Without holiness, no one sees the Lord. Actually, there's something about effort that we put in for the kind of life that God calls us to. And of course, there's, since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out before us. Actually, that implies effort. Throwing off stuff, running, going for the goal, and I think spiritual disciplines are part of the effort that is not to do with earning, but it's about receiving. It's about receiving the kind of life that God wants to give us. So that's the first point. A second point is I love the way that John Wesley describes spiritual gifts. Because spiritual disciplines can sound like they're for the kind of top-level Christians. Actually, he calls them this. He calls them means of grace. Means of grace. Actually, these are means by which we can receive God's grace. They're not means by which we can earn God's grace, but they're means by which we can receive God's grace. I'm not sure whether any of you have ever been walking up in the Welsh Mountains or in the Lake District or maybe up in Scotland, and maybe you've come across something like this. There's a reservoir. Somehow a dam has been built and a valley's been flooded, and hidden kind of in the middle of nowhere, there's this vast, vast resource of water. Hidden, unseen by, but somehow in the city of Bristol or Liverpool or Birmingham, actually, water comes out of the taps into people's homes because there's a reservoir that is hidden. But not only is that there's a reservoir that's hidden, but there's a pipework that comes from the bottom of the dam into your house. And in some ways, when we find Jesus, there's like a reservoir. There's a hidden reservoir in heaven, a hidden reservoir of God's resources, of his grace, of his hope, of his sense of well-being. It's kind of hidden from human eye. But how do we access that? How do we turn the taps on and experience God's grace in our lives? Well, these spiritual disciplines are a bit like the pipework that brings the goodness and the grace of God from the hidden heavenly realms into the reality of your own personal experience. It's like the pipework that brings, actually, the water is there. It's a hidden resource, but the way that you access it is through these pipework. And actually, the way we access God's grace into our life is again through the means of grace, through these spiritual disciplines. And again, I want us to think of that, is that spiritual disciplines have, they're not just things that you ought to do. You ought to pray, you ought to read your Bible, actually they're means by which you can receive the grace of God, the pipework by which the grace of God can flow into your life. Why wouldn't you want to have the pipework in place? Why wouldn't you want to turn the tap on? Actually, why wouldn't you want to be involved in some of these things? Because it's the means by which God's grace comes into your life. The third little intro thing is something that's called indirect action. Sometimes we think to lead the best Christian life possible, to live the kind of life that God always intended us to live, we just need to try a bit harder. Do you ever feel like that? Actually, we ought to just try a bit harder. I'm maybe not as patient as I could be. I just need to try a bit harder. I need to count to 10. Or I'm not as generous or as kind as I could be. I just need to be a bit more loving. Or I'm not as dependable or reliable or self-controlled, and maybe I just need to kind of a bit more willpower would get me in line. And frequently, when we try direct action, when we try and resolve an issue in our life, actually quite frequently I find it in my own life, is that we fail. And we just get in a cycle of feeling guilty. I'm guilty that I'm not kind enough. I'm guilty that I'm not patient enough. I'm guilty that I'm too lustful. I'm guilty that I don't do this or I don't do that. And actually what happens is, if we try direct action into the issue that is robbing us of our whole kind of life, actually it can frequently result in guilt. So indirect action is actually we can do something that's within our power that enables God to do something that's outside of our power. Or we can do the things that are within our power to enable God to do things that are within his power. I don't know if any of you ever watched an old film called The Karate Kid. Do you remember? There was an original version, and then there was a remake recently. It was a long time ago since I saw it, but I'm sure there's one little scene where this little lad went to this kind of grandmaster and said, "Will you teach me karate? I want to learn how to do karate." And he said, "Well, yeah, I'll do that. But first of all, what I want you to do is I want you to paint my fence." So he thought, "Oh, hang on a minute. I've come to learn karate." But okay, the old man says, "Paint the fence." So he goes to come to look and paints the fence. And spent all day painting the fence. And then comes and says, "Right, teach me karate." So, "Oh, well, there's plenty of time. Come back another day." And he's slightly kind of... And he comes back the next week and says, "I want to learn karate." And he says, "Well, what I want you to do is I want you to sand my floor." And he thinks, "No, I've come to learn karate." "No, just go and learn sand the floor." And he does that. And again, at the end of the day, he doesn't teach me how to do karate. And the following week comes back and says, "I want to learn karate." He said, "Well, how about you kind of wash my car? Wax on, wax off, kind of wax on, wax off." And he does that all day. He says, "I want to learn karate." And kind of he just gets really kind of mad. And I think he goes to attack the man. And actually, as they start to have this little fight, actually the very movements that he'd learned were the basic movements of karate. Sort of painting the fence, kind of sanding the floor, wax on, wax off. Actually, they were the very things were the base. And what he'd learned through indirect action actually helped him with direct action. And I think somehow the things that we call spiritual disciplines are indirect action. They don't look as though they've got anything to do with the better kind of life we want to live. But somehow they in themselves make space. They build the ground rules for the ability for God to do what only God can do in your life. They're indirect action. And as we do the things that are within our capability, actually, we could make a bit more time to pray. Actually, we could make a bit of time to fast. Actually, we could be a bit more... Actually, there are certain things within our power that we could do that aren't super hard. But when we do those, somehow they enable God to do the things that only God can do. Does that make sense? So, and that's why I think for these things, just as we think about them, these help us to lead the kind of life that we always wanted to live. There's whole kind of long lists of spiritual disciplines. There's some that are disciplines of abstinence. So how are we going to, that song that we sang about making room for God, or actually how do we make space for God? Actually, sometimes we need to abstain from things. There's the disciplines of the abstinence. Actually, solitude. We're going to abstain from people's company. We're going to abstain from kind of their opinions and peer pressure and kind of their voices. And actually, we're going to find some solitude. We're going to make space. This afternoon, I'm going to go for a walk. And I'm going to make space for God. Sometimes silence. For those of you that have got busy heads and extroverts, actually the absence of noise, the absence of speaking, that's quite a challenge. But there's something about the spiritual discipline of choosing not to speak, to allow God to speak. The absence of eating food, again, fasting, about how, again, that discipline that we read about in the Bible, of how we abstain from food. And how is abstaining from food, kind of, how does that enable God to do things in our lives? Is it like blackmail and twisting God's arm behind his back? I've prayed, but now I'm going to pray and fast. Well, no, we do something that's within our capability. I'm going to abstain from food because I know there's something deeper, there's something bigger. There's a kind of longing for the more of God. And as I abstain from this, man shall not live by bread alone. There's something about it. But the words that proceed from the mouth of God, actually, we abstain from something in order to gain something. We abstain from work, Sabbath. We abstain from work. Why Sabbath to the Lord? Actually, we abstain from work so that there's space within our busy lives to encounter God, to make space for him. There's these disciplines of abstinence that we choose to not do things that are within our effort, indirect action. Why? To allow God to do things that only he can do. There's disciplines of engagement. You mentioned some of these already, that actually finding a bit of time, maybe each day, to read a bit of the Bible, to meditate, to dwell, to think on it, maybe to memorize it. Maybe if you find reading hard, just to get a little Bible app and listen to it on the way into work, have the Bible playing on your phone rather than Radio 5 Live or whatever it is, and let the Word of God dwell in you richly. There's something about reading God's Word that's an engagement. There's something about worship, worship that is sung worship, worship that is laying down our lives as a living sacrifice. There's prayer, prayer that's thanksgiving, prayer that's to do with intercession, prayer that's to do with just the general chit-chat of the day. Fellowship, there's something about actually choosing to be with fellow Christians. Actually, that makes space for God. The Jesus who is in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As I meet with you, as we meet together, somehow Jesus is there with us. There's a discipline. Don't give up meeting together, a habit of some. Let's meet together. Because why? Because it makes space for God to work with us, to become the kind of person that Jesus always intended us to be. And there's something about service and a humility that, again, we choose to serve. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life down as a ransom for many. And there's these disciplines. Actually, there's things, and there's many more. I'm sure if you Google spiritual disciplines, there'd be a huge long list. Richard Foster, celebration discipline, there's more in there, kind of, if you want to know a bit more. But I think for Jesus, with all these spiritual disciplines, in the Sermon on the Mount, he picks on three. He picks on three, and I think it's interesting to think what do spiritual disciplines do, and why did Jesus pick on these three? Matthew chapter 6, I don't know, which three in the Sermon on the Mount does Jesus particularly pick on? Spiritual disciplines. Prayer? Not solitude. Put you out in misery, here we go. Okay, so this is Chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. So, when you give to the needy, generosity. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do, for in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what you do is done in secret, will reward you. Okay, so the first thing, spiritual discipline, is about giving. The second one is about praying. Again, similar kind of pattern. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corner to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father that's unseen. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. So it's giving, it's praying. Jesus' third one is fasting. When you fast, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they receive their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. I think that's interesting here, that kind of in there's some things that you can do that look spiritual but are just for other people to see. And actually, when other people think, oh, Tim, he's such a holy guy, I've got my reward in full. There it is. I've done it. If I've done it just to show people how spiritual and clever and kind of whatever I am, whether it is how generous I am with my money or how much I pray or, oh, yeah, do you know what? I'm on my fifth day of fasting today, folks, just to let you know. Kind of, you've received your reward in full. But actually, there's something about these spiritual disciplines of giving, of praying, of fasting. I think they illustrate the effect of other spiritual disciplines. But actually, there's something about those that there is a reward to it. Do you notice that each time? That if you do it just for people and you get their praise, you've had your reward. But actually, your Father who sees what you do in secret, these spiritual disciplines, actually, he will reward you. Now, what is that reward? I mean, is it like some kind of spiritual nectar card that kind of somehow that there's this heavenly reward scheme? If you kind of give, and if you pray and if you fast, like, you'll save up points and maybe one day you can get a ta-da, free shop or whatever it is that you can. Is that how it works? No. But Jesus does say there's a reward.
Huh.
What is that reward? I think for me that reward is the kind of life that Jesus always intended. That's what we make the effort to take hold of. So Jesus said at the beginning of that, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen. For if you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. But when we do take action, actually God does bring reward. And that reward is not something that is going to happen one day, but the reward is all that Jesus intended for us, we receive, we make benefit of, we enjoy, we participate in. Actually, that hidden reservoir, the reward is we've put the pipe works in space so we can turn the tap on. The reward is actually there's water in your kitchen, in your bath. Actually, there's life in your life. That's the reward that is from the heavens for you. And I wonder whether we, this morning, whether we understand all that Jesus wants to do for you. Actually, all that Jesus wants to do in you. Actually, all that Jesus wants to do through you. Are you becoming the kind of person that enjoys the life of the kingdom in such a way that you not only live the full kind of life yourself, but the kind of life that does change the people's lives around about you? And for me, that's why I feel spiritual disciplines are just really important. Something that I choose to do, not because I want to be an SAS-style Christian, yee-haw, but I want to experience the reward of all that Jesus achieved on the cross. I want to experience it in my life. I want to make more room for Jesus in my life. And these indirect actions result in the action that Jesus moves into my life. So I think just, these three things, giving to the needy, it's about looking outward, living beyond yourself. Actually, there's something about the spiritual discipline that should help you to live beyond yourself, live outward looking, noticing somebody who's on the checkout, noticing people who you work alongside. Actually, there's something about being generous with your time and with your money. There's something about having an outward heart of generosity. I think it's something you can choose. It's within your ability. And God can come on the back of that and does things that are outside your ability. I think there's some things that, prayer is to do with kind of how do we enjoy our relationship with our Heavenly Father? How do we make sure there's no barriers, there's no, the noise of other people's voices, the busyness of life, the stress of work, actually those things can take away from our encountering the fullness of life that's in God. Actually, spiritual disciplines will help you to for the upside of your relationship to really work. And as with fasting, there's, I think why Jesus highlights that one is that actually there's an inward effect. There's an inward effect of spiritual disciplines that actually it does change you as you are involved in those spiritual disciplines. Actually, there's space for the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life. Actually, there's space for a life that is self that's under control. Not self in control, but self under control. How's your self-life under control? Actually, spiritual disciplines will help your self-life to become under control. Actually, fasting is one of those things that mysteriously actually has a physical effect on you. but it has a spiritual effect on you too. It's interesting with giving. Maybe when there's a crisis, you give to the crisis. But my hope is that as a disciple of Jesus, you give regularly. Actually, maybe when there's a crisis, a trauma in the family, maybe you'll pray. But actually, my hope is that you pray regularly. Actually, maybe when there's a crisis and someone who's sick and poorly, maybe you might call a day of fasting. But actually, do you regularly fast? I think for all those three things, there's something about being reactive to a situation. God, you need to break in here. We'll give, we'll pray, we'll fast. But there's times where I want to be the kind of person that's always open to the way that the life of God can be at work within me. I'm going to regularly give. I'm going to regularly pray. I'm going to regularly fast to become the kind of person that God always imagined you could be. So just as I finish, Philippians says this, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Okay, some of us in this room are kind of probably near the end of our lives and the beginning of our lives, if we're honest. But actually, Paul says, do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who mature should take such a view of things. So as we finish, there's a resilient life that God always dreamt for you. There's the resources of heaven that Jesus died to bring to you. Are you making space in the routines of your life to allow the water of that heavenly reservoir to connect with you, your life, your dreams, your hopes, your pains, your expectations, the people you love round about you? These disciplines are not just for the hardcore Christians. Actually, they're means for each one of us to encounter the love, forgiveness, peace, and presence of God. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that when Jesus died, all the riches and treasures of heaven were put into an account for us that's kind of a hidden account that is there waiting for us to not to earn but to make the effort to receive. And I want to pray for each person here this morning. Thank you for the life that you always imagined they could live, the peace they could enjoy, the forgiveness, the release from shame and darkness. And thank you that you give us these indirect actions of spiritual disciplines to help us. And I pray you, even for this week, maybe for one of them, we give them a go, give you space, and we'd find the benefit of who you are and what you do in our lives. Well, we're sorry where we get into an earning mentality because we realise we can't ever earn your love, but we're sorry that where we take no effort at all in our Christian life, and you long to change us and equip us and empower us, and yet we don't make any kind of effort to receive what you're doing. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.